Good morning. We'll get started in a few minutes. Welcome to the Reporting SIG meeting.
Good morning. I didn't think I was that early.
Yeah, just got a couple minutes here. Good morning. We'll get started in just a couple minutes here. Good morning. Good morning. Just waiting for folks to join, getting a head start on attendance. Is there anyone who would be willing to do the rest of the attendance while I start?
I should be able to finish it.
Oh, hey, Scott, thank you. Can only see so many names here. Thanks, Scott. Okay, let me update that. All right. Well, welcome to the Reporting SIG meeting. I hope you're all doing well. We have an interesting tutorial today that Joanne and I have put together, and I think you'll find it helpful. So we'll get started with that shortly. Our meetings are held first 3 Mondays of the month. We've dropped the last meeting in the interest of calming our schedules. Are there any topics that you've been looking for in the reporting SIG? And I should mention that today's topic was requested by a reporting SIG member who attended and asked for a tutorial on data array extraction. I don't have the chat open, so just make sure that's open. Okay, well, as I go, if you think of topics that you'd like to see, just let me or Scott know, and we'll see if we can get it into the schedule. So let's see, do we have any new members today? Folks who would like to introduce themselves? Okay, I don't hear anyone, so welcome back, everybody. Our latest recordings are here, so if you miss a meeting and want to go back and watch what happened, you can always get to that here in the agenda. For recruitment, we had asked for some help with drive tables. We have that now, and we also have some help with reviewing drive tables. But if you would like to jump in and do more with reporting just to help out, or because you want to learn more about this, don't hesitate to reach out to me or to Scott. We always have stuff to do, so happy to have additional help on reporting stuff. So today, Joanne and I are going to present a tutorial on how to revise your query that you had set up to extract data fields from using a derived table that was already sitting in your MetaDB environment, and instead to extract it directly from the data array. So that will be the focus for today. Derived tables are a snapshot of data from the previous day. And so sometimes we need to rewrite queries in order to capture the most up-to-date information. Now that we have that ability in MetaDB, we have live synchronization of data. So being able to get the most up-to-date information is really helpful. This goes through that. So I'm going to hand it over to, do you want to share? Joanne, is that easiest? Maybe.
Let me see if I can manage that. Let's take a look.
I can put the link to this in the chat, or to the, do you want me to, I can link to the page. Joanne has written these excellent instructions and contributed those to the reporting SIG. She has done a lot of instructions for our home reporting team documentation at Cornell. And so she has generously given that to us and has extended it a little bit for all of you so that you can see an example of how to do this with a literal, query that is changed from derived table to data array. So, this is all here. Do you want this link, Joanne? Is that helpful?
I
Can put
have
that in the
a
chat.
link here.
Okay,
Chat, where are
so I'll
you?
stop share. I'll switch it over to you because then your the mouse control's a little easier. We've been experimenting with remote control of presentations, and it's kind of an interesting option.
Yeah. Especially for those of us who are not very adept at doing things. Okay, I'm hoping that you can see the page I have opened here, extracting fields from MetaDB JSON arrays.
I can see
Everybody be
it.
able to see that? Okay. This is basically a crib sheet on what you need to do if you are like you've got a query and maybe you've been using your derived tables, but perhaps the derived table doesn't have what you need because sometimes it doesn't. The other thing is sometimes you're using one of the T tables, that is the transform table from a primary table. And the T table doesn't have what you need. Okay, that's pretty common actually. So this tells you how to go about going into a table's data array, that is the JSON array, and taking out what you need from those tables. And unfortunately, it's not like a totally simple thing. At least I haven't found it to be so. But there are some basic expressions that you need to do this. And this very first part here is to explain each of the expressions. JSON B extract path. This expression specifies the path in the data array that you have to follow in order to get to the bit that you want. This result is a JSON object, which means, okay, it's not a text object. It's not like just straight text. It's actually a data array in and of itself, which you will need to do sometimes. Then you have JSON extract path text, and this does sort of the same thing as the other one does, except the result is a text object, which is just great because then you can work with it a little bit easier. This expression, JSON array elements, this is you're telling it, okay, I'm going to send you down this path, and what you're expecting to find is an array of things, not just a simple value. So this is part of the extraction expression that you'll often need to use. Then I just wanted to quickly show you this operator, this funny pound double arrow sign operator. And that essentially is the same thing as using the JSON extract path text thing. And it says, okay, follow this path of hierarchy elements. And each point in the path is separated by a comma. And then what you get at the end is the thing that you want, right? Okay, this is very broadly worded, but you're going to find that your data array in a table has multiple levels. Each particular element in the array might have several levels of hierarchy that when you open up the table, you'll see these things. And here's an example in the user table. When I look at the user table, I'm confronted with, come on, with different levels of hierarchy. So you see the first levels are just these simple fields, followed by a colon, followed by just a value, right? So ID, active, barcode, those are pretty simple. All you got is one thing. But then you get down to this, metadata. Oops, I mean, what's going on here? This thing called metadata has some subfields in it. It's got the create date, updated by user ID, created by user ID. And these may be things that you really need. You want to know when a record was created or updated. Then this field, personal, this tells you all kinds of stuff. It tells you the username, the email address. And then if the person has various addresses, in our case, it would be home address and campus address. And maybe some other addresses. That stuff is enclosed in, you see these square brackets? That means that the values for this address field is actually another array. So that's a whole nother level of complexity. And then whenever you see square brackets, that's going to be your signal that what you're dealing with is an array of values. And there's a special statement that you can use to get at those array of values. So that is what you're going to be confronting. And you can do these JSON extract path statements to get at those various things. The very first level is easy peasy, right? You're just going to be able to get the value for ID or the value for barcode, I think, in this particular example. They are just at the top level.
so you don't have to dig very far.
Joanne,
Yes.
I just want to check in because I'm hoping that everyone is with us here, and just want to ask, has everyone looked at the tables in MetaDB closely enough to understand what we're referring to when we're talking about these various tables? So if I often give the example of the loans table collection, so you'll have loan underscore underscore T is the current loans information, and then loan just underscore underscore, or you could just cut it off as loan, is the table that has all the data to be extracted. Loan underscore T underscore has the current and the historical information. Is everyone on board with that, or do you have any questions about that? I'm just wondering if it would be helpful for us to back up a little bit.
Okay, one is
Okay,
giving a
Juan's
thumbs
just, oh,
up.
Juan's got a thumb up.
Let's
Okay. Oh,
see, who else do we
I got a
have?
fancy thumbs up.
Okay.
Okay.
All
Okay.
right.
It's
Please do feel free to interrupt if what I'm saying doesn't make sense or if you need some background data, information, whatever. I'm sorry, this is a kind of a complicated topic. So,
That's why I wanted to just open that up because if you're like, I don't know what she's talking about, we can show you the tables in a MetaDB environment so you can relate to that a little better. But if everyone's like, oh no, we know exactly what you're talking about, which is what I'm getting a sense of. So but just let us know. Thanks.
Okay. So, anyway, I was saying that the first level extractions are really easy because all you need is just your basic JSON extract path text, and then this thing called active, that was a top level field. So all you need to extract it is this one expression, JSON extract path text. And then the table, you specify what the table is, users, and then you specify what the field is that you're looking for. And that's the thing called active. That's a Boolean field, so it's a true false type of thing. And then you just say from the users table, right? And the other way to write this, if you're lazy like me and you don't want to write out JSON extract path text, you can use this operator that I mentioned earlier. You can just say from the users table, go to the JSON array. And then get the active field. And that's what this little shorthand stuff is. Okay. Now, a lot of times you're not so lucky and you need to extract more than just a top level field. This is an example where if you looked back at the users table, you would see that there is a chunk in that JSON array called personal. And within that personal chunk is where you get your first name and last name. So that was one of my gripes early on when I was trying to get user info for a lot of my SERP queries. And I couldn't use the extracted table, the T tables, users T. I couldn't use that because it didn't have it. And the reason why it doesn't have it is because the transform tables only extract the very first highest level data. Okay, so if it's embedded like on a second level or third level or whatever hierarchy, it's not going to get it. So you're not going to get it from the T tables. And in a lot of cases, you're not going to get it from the derived tables. So I had to figure out how to get it myself. And this was how you go to, you have to go JSON extract path text, and you go into your users table, and then you specify, go down to the section called personal, and then get to the field called last name. So that's all you have to do. and that will get you the user information, last name, first name from the users table. Now, using that little shortcut method thing, you can do exactly the same thing. You can say JSON B, pound sign, bracket, bracket, personal, and then last name. This is a shortcut method that I like to use, but it does exactly precisely the same thing as this. So, in case I've lost you at this point, don't worry. I have a crib sheet that is linked here at the top of the page here, which will kind of take these examples and put them into a form that hopefully you'll be able to decipher. Okay. So that's the second level extracts. And a lot of times you have third level extracts. Oh boy. So this is an example from the audit loan table, folio circulation audit loan. And the audit loan table gets you a lot of information about the real history of a loan. And so here we have this field called name. That's this is within the loan. Here, let me make it a little bit bigger. Come on. Okay. So the name field is within, first comes the loan section. And the loan section has got all this other stuff in it. And then within loan is status. So it has to do with the loan status. And the loan status, there's a name. It's open loan or closed loan, right? So you have to dig down to get to that name, to that field. And likewise, the loan, under loan, again, you come down to metadata, which is about the loan, when it was created, when it was updated, and who did it, right? So these are things that are just a little more complicated to get at. So here's how you do it. Note that the fields listed in these JSON extract statements have to be in the hierarchical order that they appear in the table. So you go JSON extract path text, audit loan. Is the name of the table, then the JSON array. Then you go to loan, that was at the higher level. Then you go down to status, that was at the next level. And then name was at the bottom, and that's the one that you wanted to get to. Somebody say something? Whatever. Okay. Anyway. So, hope I'm making, and then this is an alternate way to do it using that shortcut method. Okay, so it's just exactly the same thing, it's just using that shortcut. Now, this is the worst part, is extracting arrays embedded into objects. And here's an example. This is from the users, the Folio users custom fields table. I don't know if you guys use custom fields, but we do. And the custom fields are a big pain in the rear. We have to extract them out of the custom fields table, which is a production. Okay, so you have the select field here. Let's say that we wanted to select these things, the in the values array, and you know it's an array because of this the square brackets. Okay, you know that's an array. And the elements in the array are the value ID, the value, okay, active or inactive, and then default true or false. Okay, don't ask me to explain that. But anyway, there's a bunch of things in this values array that you might want to get at. So the way to do that is essentially that you have to extract this values array by itself first. And to do that, you're going to use something called a cross join lateral. This is what set my head spinning because I couldn't wrap my head around this. But essentially, what you're doing is extracting that array that has the stuff that you need, and you're making it into its own JSON object. Okay. And from there, you take that JSON object, and then you can extract it with the simpler stuff, with the JSON extract path text stuff. So to make this cross join, you have to use this expression, JSON array elements. So you're saying, what I'm going to ask you to do now is go into an array and take out the elements. And you have to follow this path, JSON extract path, in order to get to the elements that I want. So JSON array elements, JSON extract path. Then you say what the table is. This was my alias for the custom fields table. And I said, okay, go down into select field, then options, then values. And so if we go back up here, you can see select fields is the topmost level. Then you've got your options chunk. Then you've got your values chunk. So that's what it's telling it. It's giving it a roadmap on how to find this stuff. Okay, so you're making something called you're making another JSON object out of this extraction. And I've named it values, but you can name it any old thing that you want. Doesn't have to be, it could be named Fred Flintstone. It could be named anything. So you're going to be using this thing called values to extract the other things within that object. So up here in your query statement, you're naming the fields that you want. You want your ID field, your ref ID, a custom name field. Then you're doing JSON extract path text out of the array that you just created through the cross join, the thing that I called values. And then you're saying, okay, get the ID out of that chunk. So that's the value I ID. Then you go through the same chunk and you get the value section. And that's the value name. And that's essentially how you get to an embedded array object. So you use a cross join. You can use these various extracted fields in your order by statement. It's perfectly okay to do that. So that's kind of handy. The other thing I'd like to mention is sometimes you might see ordinality. And the ordinality is nothing more than the order in which the values appear in the record. So you could have a whole bunch of values that, are just out there. And what the query does, if you don't specify the ordinality of each of the values, that's perfectly okay, but the query will then use alphabetical order to list them. And that may be fine, but if it's important to you to list the values that you get out of the array in the order in which they appear in the record, then you have to stick this line here with ordinality as, okay. And this is just I don't know how to explain this except that once you do your cross join statement, cross join, blah, 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 you can say with ordinality. Okay, so saying with ordinality, and then as values JSONB is the thing that you're calling it. You're calling it values in this case. But the only difference from the previous one is you're saying with ordinality. So it says, aha, I have to put an ordinality on these values. And when you've got a cross join that says with ordinality, then you can, where the heck is it? I don't have it in here. Well, you can put as part of your select statement right underneath this stuff, you can say values dot ordinality, which will give you the ordinality number for each of these values that it extracted. Okay, I'm sorry I didn't put that in. But anyway, extracting all this stuff in the little query that I have up here gives you this result. And so you have your custom fields ID, the ref ID, whatever that is, custom fields name, then the value and the value name. So that's enough to confuse anybody, but there it is. Now, the other thing that you might find is an array that has just square brackets. It looks like it's a top level extract. You know, it's like it doesn't have to be dug into, except that this thing that you have at the top level is not a nice text field like this. It's in square brackets, which means that it has an array of values. So you will have to do another cross join statement in order to get it out of there. And you know, I'm doing, I really like this thing here. So I'm going to be using that, but we have to jump down into the from statement. So this is from the user users table. And I'm doing another cross join. Okay. And whenever you do that, you say JSON array elements. You tell it that it's an array that you're getting. Then you tell it the path. And in this case, it's at the top level and it's called departments, right? Because up here we saw this top level and it was departments. So you're going to do that. And in this case, I did put the ordinality. And this extracted object, then I just named departments DEPTS. So up here in the select statement, I'm saying here, this is the departments object that I created through the cross join. And this stuff here, these little curly brackets with nothing in them, it just means get whatever values are in there as department ID. This extracts the array values from the department's JSON object created through the cross join. Note that the curly brackets are empty. This is because there is no tag for the values. It's just the values themselves. If there were a tag for the values, the tag name would go in the curly brackets. So in this particular case, I just wanted to show it because it looks bizarre. It's just a set of empty brackets, but this is all you have to do if you see that. Okay, you just put your curly brackets and leave them as is. Okay.
Joanne,
Yes.
Lauren, I'm not sure if that's a question, but there's a comment in the chat, and
Oh, okay.
she's saying I was having trouble with a query where I needed to extract data from multiple arrays from the same table,
Yes,
but using multiple cross joins ended up only giving me results where there was data in all three arrays
Yes,
and not
that
returning null
is
values.
correct. And that is actually something I'm going to get to in a few minutes. That is a great observation. Cross joins, if you use a cross join in a query, it will get only those records that have values for the cross join. So in other words, if you have the inventory table, and that's got like, I don't know how many of these embedded arrays in it, and you wanted to get records that may or may not have values in those arrays, you have to do a two-part query, okay, or maybe even three-part. But anyway, I will show that in a second. Let me just show you here. God, my, this is hard to follow. But anyway, you got your departments out of this particular example. And okay, why is this not expanding? Okay, I'm not sure why this isn't. Oh, okay, expand out.
Yeah,
Come
there you go. Yeah.
on.
Oh, why is it not showing?
It's
Oh, there you go.
probably
It just takes a minute.
the connection is not great. Okay.
We're seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you see that the departments were extracted, and I put the ordinality in there, so it tells you for each of these so far in this screenshot anyway, there was only one department associated with each user. So department ordinality is one. You might have users that have multiple departments, and so you would have, you know, one, two, three or something. But anyway, it comes out nice. So let's see, what have I got here? Okay, summarize, three ways to extract arrays. You don't have to use a cross join. Just use a triple nested JSON extract statement in the select clause. And you have to trust me on this. This works. You can essentially do what the cross join did, but you do it in one nested statement instead of via the cross join. Okay, this has distinct advantages because this will get you those records that don't have values in that particular data array. Okay, so this is a good way to get things that may or may not have a value. You can use the cross join and put the result in a single level JSON extract statement in the select clause. So this is if you just want to have records that have these values. Now I don't know what's happening here. Okay, I'm not, my view of what is on the page seems to be a little bit spotty because I think my connection is not great. But anyway, you can use the cross join the same as in example B here, but you can use that shortcut method, this thing, to get the values. Now,
Pound greater than and greater than.
yes, exactly. And then this part, this number four, is how you can do this to prevent records from dropping out. And like I say, cross join queries will only return those records that have all the array elements you're trying to find. It's possible to use multiple cross join statements in the from clause to get multiple array values, which I think is what Lauren was trying to do. But the results will show only those records that have all of the array elements specified in the cross joins. So that's usually not great because you want to see stuff that has them and that doesn't have them. So your first thing is you're going to create a two-part query. First, create a query that has the nested JSON extract statement for each of the arrays that you're trying to extract. And if you do that long nested JSON extract statement, that will get the array values for the arrays that you're looking at. Gosh, I'm sorry. In this example, gosh, I don't know if you're seeing the kind of crazy stuff that I'm seeing on my screen, but anyway.
It's staying on the reporting sig page
Okay.
pretty well. Well, there was a little bit of blippiness, but
Yeah, there,
it
I'm
seems to be
very
okay.
sorry for the blippiness, and I'm sorry that this is such a complicated topic.
Well, it's not your fault.
Well, so in this first half, I'm getting the array elements for contributors, languages, and subjects. So you can see this starting with this part right here. This is the nested JSON extract statement that gets the contributors, right? This next one is for languages. And this third one is for subjects. And then the second half of the query here is I'm going to go separately and get all the records from the instance table and left join the results to what you found in the first half of the query. So I'm going down to the inventory instance T table, and then I'm going to left join the values from the first half of the query that got all of the extracted arrays, and I'm going to put it all together. So when you left join it to those extracted array values, you can get everything. You can get the you can get records that have those values and that don't have the values in any combination. So you see that the we have a title. The first one in the list there has it has values for contributors, languages, and subjects. But then if you go down to row 10, astrophysics and cosmology, that does not have a contributors value. So that shows as null. Also doesn't have a languages, that shows as blank, and subjects show as null. So that didn't have anything. But you can see that there are different combinations here. Row 15 has a contributor, doesn't have a language, doesn't have subjects. So this two-part method is the way you would go about getting you get your array values and then you get the entire table and then left join the array values to it. So I am sorry, this is just cancel, cancel, cancel.
I think if you just the X in the top right there, not the window, but oh, it looks like Joanne has frozen. Uh-oh. Okay. I'll see if I can. Let's see if she's trying to reach me. Is everyone else seeing the frozen screen? Okay, it looks like Joanne is
Yes.
choosing to log in again. Okay, thanks, Scott. Okay, yeah, and we have no share. And she is She has had a problem with her network connection. So let me just see. Does anyone have any questions while we're waiting for Joanne to pop back in? Okay. All right, let me see what's happening. Oh, okay. Computer died. That sounds serious. Okay. All right. Well, let's see here if we can get this up. And I think she will continue to try to have her. Oh, you're back. Your computer
I am back,
miraculously
but
recovered.
oh my God, it is, this
Oh,
is
dear.
not good, not
Yeah,
good
we
at
need to get IT in
all.
on this. Yeah, we'll get support in on your computer.
My God, not a good time for it to go belly up.
Let me get the
Okay,
link for
where
you.
was I? I think, let's see, am I sharing my screen? Probably not.
Not at this point.
See, sure. I don't know if
Aaron
I
has
dare
given you
share my
the link.
screen.
Thank you, Aaron. Do you have the link for the page? It's right there in the chat. Aaron, thanks so much.
Okay, are we back? Do you see my screen?
We're back.
Okay. So we're almost done here.
We do have a question in the chat
Oh,
while you're
sure.
finding your place, or I'll just wait for a second. So I could just tell you, hey, Lauren. Okay. So Lauren has a question. Oh, sure. Other people are using lateral joins, but not cross joins to do multiple array extractions, or people think it's better to do the nested extractions. Okay. So,
I don't know.
I don't know if people are doing one
I
or the other.
don't know. I really don't know. I wish I could answer your question. I truly don't know. I don't know what the difference is, between lateral joins and cross joins.
I do remember that Nasib showed us the nested later as sort of a new and improved kind of thing, shorter way to do it. So, but I don't know if it's necessarily better or what people are doing.
I have no clue.
Yeah. We didn't have the instructions on the nested at first, and Nasib gave us those later. And they're kind of, I don't know. They're shorter, so a little less to type.
What do you mean about this shorter? Do you mean this table.json b pound sign? Right arrows. Yeah, that shortcut is, it's just a shorthand. It's not, don't think it's a, thing that
Oh,
you have
not
to
versus,
use. You can write it out. You could do JSON extract path text, blah, 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 and that will get you to the same place. Anyway, not to beat a dead horse, but anyway, this last bit is revising your query to get data array extractions instead of derived tables. So this may be something you want to do if your need for data is more immediate, like you need to get the up to the second or up to the minute data for your purposes. And one thing that I have looked into is overdue loans for short-term loan stuff. So course reserves and equipment. And if you had a need to find things that were overdue right then and there, you could use a data array extraction. You couldn't use the derived tables because the derived tables are too old. You know, they're yesterday's data. So you might want to use a data array extraction. So to get the derived tables, this is an example, and I don't expect you to like look at this and memorize it. But anyway, it gets stuff about the loan and the date and time for when it was checked out and when it was due. But again, you know, this is yesterday's data, so it's only going to take you so far. And then to get it out of the primary tables, the loan table and the users table, which is what you have to do, you would then have to use your JSON array extracts. In particular, for the users table, you have to go into the data array and you dig down to the part that's the personal chunk, and you get the first name and last name. And these are all the tables that you have to use. You got to use the loan table, the users table, the item table, material type table, because these are all things that the derived table did for you, but the derived table didn't go down into the nitty-gritty of the username, and it did not give you up to the minute data, which is the big thing with this type of query. So you'll notice that this query is longer. This is like 64 lines long, whereas the other query was only 41 lines long. And that's because you're using more tables. And that's generally true if you're trying to substitute primary tables for derived tables, because the derived tables don't get everything, right? So you generally have to use more tables. And when that happens, usually the query takes longer to run. And that may not be much of a difference. In this case, this is a pretty simple query. May not look like it on the surface, but it really is. And this doesn't take very much longer to run than the derived table query does. And I would just want to leave you with a parting statement here. If the whole prospect of trying to use your own extracts out of a primary table is too much, you could, or if you think the derived table is okay, except for the fact that it's yesterday's data, what you can do is go into the derived table code and put that into your query, just cut and paste. And that way you'll have what you need, but without going through the trouble of trying to extract the data from the primary table. Now, that only works if the derived table has everything that you need, which for me doesn't happen a lot. But and then one final thing is up here at the top, if my computer ever gets there, I want to show you, here's a cheat sheet. Okay, which is handy because it takes all the junk that I was talking about and shows you in a little snippet the most common arrays that you might come across and how to get them out. So here's like an example from the item table. There's a notes array. It's got all this stuff. And then here's how you would extract it out of the notes array. This is the formula. And then here's an alternate method is instead of using the long nested JSON statement, you can do the cross join. And that will get you that will extract anything that is in the array. But again, it doesn't get the records that don't have a notes field, an array notes field value. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that that little cheat sheet is here, pretty skeletal, but it has some examples, I think, of the sorts of arrays that you'll come across. So that is it. And I apologize for all the we're going to get out of this. Just X out of it. I apologize for the confusion and for the computer glitches. But please let us know. Let me know if you have any questions about this, and I'll try to help.
But let's go back to Lauren's question. She was wondering if people are using the lateral joins, but not cross joins, to do multiple array extractions. Okay. So she's saying you do a left join lateral instead of a cross join lateral, but it'll return the null values. Not sure
Oh,
she
that's
understands
good.
how they work. So yeah, don't know if anyone has had some
That's a
experience.
that's good. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, this is like a friend that I was doing like a couple weeks ago. With like maybe also giving them.
I can't hear whoever's talking.
It's Lauren, are you talking? We can't hear you at all. I mean, it's sort of like pop, 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 like that. Lauren, do you want to unmute? Oh, she needs to troubleshoot her mic. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You were on mute. Yeah, we could hear like teeny tiny little sounds. Okay. Okay.
How about now? I
Much
can
better,
hear. Yeah.
much better.
Yeah, so I was working on a query like 2 weeks ago which had multiple array extractions. And so I discovered this thing because like I'd previously been doing multiple array extractions and like subqueries or like creating subtables, and that also works fine,
Yes.
although possibly
Yeah.
slower.
Yeah.
But I trying to look things up and think like doing like left join lateral, and so like I have the query was to get identifiers that had particular attributes. And so that was my first cross join on the identifiers from the inventory table. And then I also wanted to get notes on records that on the records that had those identifiers, which, you know, may or may not have admin notes or statistical codes, which was the third thing I wanted to do. And so like those two things could have null values, but the identifiers couldn't. And what seemed to work is doing a cross join on identifiers and then a left join lateral on the admin notes and the statistical codes. But like, I don't actually know what the lateral join is doing, but it does seem like cross join lateral is things that only have those values. And the left join lateral is, you know, matches
Oh,
the
that's
thing
very good
on the
hint.
first,
Thank you.
like a normal left join. But like,
Yeah.
what is a lateral join actually mean?
I have no clue. But
Okay. Glad we're all confused
I don't
together.
know. I mean, I tried to figure out what these, you know, make sense of what this thing said, and I couldn't. Okay, that's me. I could not. It just seems like an incantation, you know, left join, cross join, lateral. But I'm glad that you mentioned that because that actually, I'm going to try that and see if that solves this problem of records dropping out. And maybe you can just use that instead of doing the methods that I outlined here, you know.
Yeah, that's why I was curious, like if other people had tried that, because like it is doing the nested thing faster or slower than the left join, like does it get the same results? Because it looks like, to me, it looks neater to do the cross join and the left join laterals. But if the nested is faster, then maybe I want to do that instead. So that's so like this is something that we just discovered.
That's
That
terrific.
number trying to figure out like what is this actually doing?
Oh, that's that. Thank you so much for that hint. I'm going to try it and see if it gets me anywhere. Yeah. Or rather, it gets me the results that I expect. I'll do a compare and contrast, I'll see if it does the same.
Yeah, that would be a good thing to add to the documentation if it turns out to be a good way to do things. I have here a lateral join in SQL is a special type of join. This is just a Google search. A special type of join that allows a sub query in the from clause to reference columns from a table expression that appears before it in the from list. So, and then
Oh,
there's a lot more about it, but
okay.
yeah, so we can, but
Well, that's good.
yeah, so we can maybe update the page a little bit more. Any other questions? Is everyone's mind spinning? Well, Joanne has just been incredible to untangle this for us at Cornell. And Joanne, I really appreciate you contributing this to the reporting site because the question had come up a couple times, could we have somebody walk through how to do this? And so thank you so much for walking through it. And thanks everyone for sticking around to look at that. I find the easiest way to learn how these work is, of course, to just try them in queries, and you can start to feel more comfortable with them. So, Joanne, thank you so much for putting all that information together. This is all in the Reporting SIG wiki, so it's very easy to find extracting. And I think there's a link that we put in the chat earlier, but you can always reach out if you are looking for that link and missing it. Anything else, Joanne, before we part?
No, I am I wish I had the magic wand to make it easy. Like I could say, okay, this is, I know the page is very dense and maybe not the clearest it could be, so I apologize for that, but
Oh, no.
I hope you'll find some of it helpful. Yeah, I mean, if you can extract your own arrays, there's nothing you can't do. I mean, really. That's your
Yeah.
queries will be yours to command.
Well said. Well said. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining. We'll see you next time at the Reporting SIG, and hope you have a great week. Take care.